Welcome to the Passive Aggressive Podcast, everyone. I'm here with, this is Bobby Haha, and I'm here with comedian Ben Rosenfeld.
Hey, Bobby. How are you today?
Oh, pretty good. We're doing it early day today because...
We are doing it on Monday instead of Tuesday, which is our usual... We're doing it on our usual old day instead of our usual new day.
Right, we're doing it in like... post-Mike Vecchione era.
Right. Our post-Mike Vecchione era, we usually record the show on Tuesdays.
I couldn't believe you fired that guy, Ben. I don't know why.
He was getting
an attitude with you, I think.
He just wasn't bringing it.
And plus, he said a few things about Ricky Velez and stuff like that. They're the young guys. And now look where Ricky is. He's got his own TV show. He's on that Larry Wilmore show there.
Anyway, we're doing it a day early because of the snowpocalypse that's going to descend on the city, allegedly. I personally, Bobby, I never believe any of these weather reports until it gets really real.
Well, a few hours ago, I was out there trying to sniff it off the streets, but I couldn't get high.
Yeah, for our listeners out there, sniffing snow won't get you high.
It gives you that brain freeze. That's about it.
You got to have a brain to freeze.
That's true.
Any plans for the blizzard,
you're getting
Bobby?
Very nasty, Ben, to me lately. I've been very nice to you, and you're getting very nasty to me with the I don't have a brain thing.
I didn't say it was you. I was saying in general.
But last week I taught you a lesson about brains, didn't I? I brought it to you. I knew every answer. You didn't know nothing. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on in the world.
What are your plans for the blizzard, Bobby?
What do you mean plans for the blizzard?
What are you going to do?
Well, I'll be honest with you.
Have you queued up your Adam for Adam account to make sure you get action?
No, I canceled that. But I did have a guy come over this morning for half an hour because he on his way to his office. This young gentleman. He did come by this morning, but this is the no drug Bobby Haha, the back to working out and everything again because the summer's right around the corner.
Got to get ready for the summer. You going to rock a Speedo this year?
I don't wear those kind of things. That's European. I'm not a European.
All right. Good talk. I
rock out with my cock out, Ben. I go to the nude beaches.
All right.
Did you ever notice that? Here's another thing I'm going to bring up.
Well, let's bring it
up. Did you ever go to a nude beach in the United States?
Not in the United States, no.
Okay, well, I've been to a couple. One out there, California, and Fire Island, of course. But the only guys that are running nude are like 90-year-olds. They look like the raisins.
I have noticed in Europe, people just go nude or topless often, even if it's like a regular.
But it's usually the older fat guys.
Or even when it's women. It's never the people you want to see nude.
Naked, right. Yeah. They're always covered up.
Yeah.
Yeah, with umbrellas and everything because they don't want the sun to touch them and everything. It sickens me when you go out there and you see some guy.
Usually the nude people are the ones who've stopped giving a shit.
Exactly. They don't care about themselves. They just flop. You walk down the beach and it's...
Which explains why you go to nude beaches.
No, I go to Fire Island and it's very nice there. And
do you do shows on Fire Island?
Not those type of shows. I did
like
some,
comedy shows, I mean. No, I've done not sexual, your... Well, yeah, I... Right.
They call it the meat rack. The meat rack. It's in the woods where Cherry Grove, right between where Cherry Grove meets, what do they call that other thing?
Syphilis?
No. I've had that a few times. The pines.
I'm surprised you don't have a strain that's resistant to antibiotics.
I got strains that resist everything. They use that nasty shit I got to kill Ebola. I got some shit that'll put AIDS in Ebola right out of the game. But the United States government, because of a conspiracy, not a theory, a conspiracy, they burnt down my laboratory like they did with Tesla.
Your sauna got burned down?
Oh, no, not the sauna, the laboratory.
Oh, your meth lab?
No, I don't make meth.
Anymore?
I never did. Huh. Talking about my toilet bowl exploded, the fucking thing.
All right, let's get to the news.
No, you're getting very boring, Ben. You gotta. Look, come on.
We're in the news.
How
segment,
was your weekend? How was your weekend?
I'm Podomatic, our provider that goes into iTunes.
Oh, that's right. With news, we gotta go to the news first.
And politics.
Okay, we'll go. Okay,
so we gotta give them some news.
Hold on, let me get it to my news voice. This is Bobby Haha, and here's the news. Here's the news, everyone.
Joe Franklin's dead.
That was sad news.
It was news.
It was news, and it was sad news. I've met the man on a few occasions, a real class act. He's also a legend in New York. You're not from New York City, born here, but I'm born and raised here. He's a New York City icon, legend, just like Al Lewis was for the Munsters.
Al Roker.
Al Roker is not in the same even ballpark. Al Roker is a piece of crap.
I was on his TV show.
That's why. That's right. I said he's
I a want a backpack.
I'm not a big Al Roker guy.
Come on, Bobby. I got Weather Channel credits.
Yeah. But no, this guy, I think he had the longest show ever. He's the one that started that the talk show format.
Yeah, 40-something years he ran it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was great. Joe Franklin was great, man. He was a New York legend. I put him up there with Al Lewis, the guy from the Car 54 and the Munsters. Grandpa.
Derek Jeter.
No. It's just talking about a sports guy. We're talking about iconic guys that came from that period of time that everyone recognized in New York and everyone liked them.
Frank Sinatra.
No, Frank Sinatra's not from New York. He's from Hoboken, New Jersey, pal.
Huh.
Old Blue Eyes from Hoboken.
Dean Lewis?
No, it's Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis, that's right.
And then Jerry Lewis, you know, the French love him. Just like David Hasselhoff, the Germans like him.
Here's my two Joe Franklin-related memories. One is his comedy club on 45th and 8th. My friend...
I got protested outside of there by two old ladies.
It's not a protest if it's only two people.
It's still a protest.
The
old ladies are outside and screaming and yelling, saying that I'm a filthy animal and that I'm putting my views on little children and everything else.
I mean, you are a filthy animal. That's just a fact. Joe Franklin's Comedy Club, my friends Andrew Sanford and Mikhail Page, whose podcast I did a few weeks back, they used to run a show there every Tuesday night, and they'd get between like 4 and 10 people, which is probably why the place closed, one of the reasons. But it was always like a fun show. I could work out new material, people would laugh and have a good time, and I always enjoyed that room.
But people were there, they didn't laugh, man. That's why the place closed. I heard after you were there one night.
I closed the place. I was, yeah.
That's not
that, that's what happened.
That's really bad.
My other Joe Franklin-related story is from the movie The Aristocrats, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. Have you ever seen it? It's the documentary.
I've seen The Aristocrats. I'm a comedian, Ben.
The Sarah Silverman one, where she's like, I used to be an aristocrat as a kid.
I'm not a big fan of us.
Well, let me do the story.
All right, you can do the story. I'll just do the story.
She was like, I used to be an aristocrat as a kid. With Joe,
I'm playing the violin, everyone.
With Joe Franklin. He had a couch for little people. It was his little person couch. Joe Franklin raped me. That was the Sarah Silverman Aristocrats bit. And then he sued her because of that for defamation of character.
Right, because they found out that was Bill Cosby. She didn't know. She just fell asleep. But that's
right.
What happened.
And Joe Franklin was in The Aristocrats, actually, if I remember correctly.
No,
his office, right before after that.
No, he was not in it.
I thought he was in it. Yeah,
I don't remember him ever talking like that.
I remember him being in The Office.
No, he was in The Office. He did not tell jokes like that, Joe Franklin.
No, he didn't tell that joke, but he was part of a movie after Sarah Silverman.
He was a real gentleman. Joe Franklin.
Except when he raped Sarah Silverman.
Yeah. Sarah Silverman. Who the fuck wants to rape her? Her pussy was big as the fucking Holland Tunnel there. That's what I heard.
All right.
I heard you need an easy pass to go through there.
All
like Mike Vecchione's ass. He's got an easy pass lane.
All right, Bobby.
Not bad about
that. Let's not do character assassination for no reason.
But I'm not assassinating you because you assassinated Joe Franklin. And you said he was in The Aristocrats. And I know for a fact Joe Franklin would never use that kind of foul language.
I don't think he told the joke, but he was in the movie.
No. His office was in the movie.
I think he was in it. So he was in the movie. That's all I said.
Because the other guy, the Jewish guy, the other guy, what's his name, was doing it over there by the office. The skinny guy that got fired from doing the quack duck on TV.
Oh, Godfrey.
Yeah, Gilbert Godfrey was by the office there talking to Joe Franklin, I think it was. That's the scene he was in. With Gilbert Godfrey, who did a good Aristocrats.
He was a good one, too.
He was a good one.
Do you have any other Joe Franklin stories, or are we moving on?
No, I met the guy a few times. Like I said, the guy was a gentleman and a real class act. And it's sad to see him go, because he was a real New York legend, icon, great guy. And he helped out a lot of people in the comedy world.
All right.
So, big up for the life of Joe Franklin.
Big moment of applause for Joe Franklin. Our guest, we were supposed to have a guest.
Also, Ernie Banks. Whoa. Ernie Banks died, too.
Ernie Banks also passed.
One of the great shortstops of all time for the Chicago Cubs.
I was on radio in Chicago this morning talking about my book.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, on AM radio at 9.
Russian Optimism, right?
Russian Optimism.
Yeah. Great book.
Thank you, Bobby.
I like the audio version.
Great audio version. So, great guy read the English.
No, the guy, the Russian guy. That did it. Russian.
That's my dad. That was my dad.
That's the good one. You sucked and I sucked. The guy, the old guy, did it good.
Al Gore, former vice president and failed presidential candidate.
Well, he wasn't a failed presidential candidate. He did get the popular vote, And then he got stolen by old Jebski there.
Well, by the Supreme Court. That was the real... Supreme, no, that's no, where the stealing took place.
Not only the Supreme Court, no, the lady in Florida, the discount, she stole all the votes. The one that was in charge...
There's a lot of issues.
There was a lot of stuff going on there.
Anyway, Al Gore, he recently said that we should spend $90 trillion in big cities to ban cars in big cities and to just have public transit.
I believe that'd be a good idea.
$90 trillion is a lot of dollars. That's like five Iraq wars.
Okay, let me tell you something.
See what I did there? That was a...
Right. Okay, let me... No, well, five Iraq wars, probably more than that. There was 3 billion missing the day before 9/11. You know that, right?
You've mentioned it on air before.
No, it's not only that. The Secretary of Defense mentioned it on air the day before it happened. If you want to go to the videotape. The day before it happened, he said there was $2.3 trillion missing from the defense.
Focus on the mass transit, Bobby.
Okay, so here's what I'm telling you. They're not going to do it.
Obviously.
Because they don't care that 10,500 and something scientists said about there is climate change because of man-made climate change. But the Republicans who control the Senate and the House now are not going to let anything for climate change go through because they think it's bogus because they don't believe in science.
I agree with you, but for different reasons. They're not going to do it for the bigger point of all the way electoral politics in America is set up. Everything is for short
term. They got gerrymandered.
Let me finish, Bobby.
Yeah.
That too, but everything's set up for short term. Nobody has the balls for any long term vision. It's all for... What kind of things can we do now to make sure we get reelected?
Right, it wasn't like FDR.
Right, not what's going to make America great in 20 years. Let's fix our transit network. Let's do infrastructure.
So no. We can make more money when we quit. We get these consulting jobs at all these big corporations.
Exactly. The politicians are too short-sighted. They don't have the balls. Republican and Democrat. They're both
in for the money.
They're both in it for the short-term money.
Look at Sheldon Silver this week. That's a big story. Let's get to another big story.
What happened there? I don't know.
Oh, you don't know what happened with Sheldon Silver, the speaker of the Senate?
Oh, he went to jail, right?
He didn't go to jail. He got arrested.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's a different guy.
No, he got arrested. He went there in handcuffs. But they didn't stay over. He bailed himself out for $300,000. But
Or as he calls it, cab fare.
Yeah. In six different bank accounts, he had $3.8 million. And... for legal work that he's been doing for this thing, but he never did one day of legal work. So the U.S. attorney, I like this guy. The Indian guy, Patel, whatever his name is, Patel, this guy's good.
He's going to be running for mayor soon.
No. He said he's not going to run. He said he likes what he does.
They all say that.
It's like Giuliani. Giuliani was a good prosecutor.
Right.
That's what I give him. He was a good prosecutor.
He was overall good as a mayor.
No, he wasn't.
He cleaned up Times Square.
No. He overacted on a lot of things. The 9/11, let's not get into that. But
he was good for the city during 9/11.
Listen, I'm not going to get into 9/11.
All right, we won't get into 9/11. No, I agree on that. Yeah. So do you think it's a good idea to ban cars from major cities?
Yeah, like Chicago, New York.
If the infrastructure is right.
If the infrastructure is right, I believe... Yes, they should be banned. Well, you're going to need some cars. Taxis.
Taxis, right. Or rideshare. Like if they did city bike, but with cars.
Right, because you got to remember this. You have elderly people, handicapped people that can't even get down to the public transportation or whatever.
Well, we should put them all out on a farm somewhere.
Yeah, like you. Let's put you out on the farm and chop you up in little pieces and feed you to the pigs.
Feed me to the elderly.
Yeah, exactly.
So that they can live longer.
They go, it's the blue plate special, the 5 o'clock for the elderly. They're the blue plate special, they call that. All the old geezers come in here and get their discount on the dinner.
All right, next topic. Chelsea, you're one of your stomping grounds. There was a shooting in the Home Depot on 6th and 23rd.
Yeah, it was an employee deal.
Shooting his manager.
He shot his manager because the manager was giving him hard time, and he just thought, some of these people, they think that little bullshit argument, they're still in like school days, the world is coming to an end to me. I'll never be able to get another position or anything. So I just kill this guy and kill myself.
Yeah, it was...
What about the guy that killed his wife and his daughter and his mother-in-law and wounded his other daughter? She survived. Thank goodness.
Well, there was also the
guy... Rosedale, right here in Queens.
I didn't know that one, but there's also the guy who killed himself outside of Fox News.
Well, he should have killed a whole bunch of people in Fox News.
I mean, he used to work there. So I guess
he should have killed him. He should have killed
whatever.
Himself, and first he should have took out the whole crew.
I mean, here's the thing. While I dislike Fox, I don't advocate them getting taken out. I don't think anyone should be taken out.
The Pope says that, though.
I haven't heard that, but if he does,
you know what the Pope said about the Charlie Hebdo thing?
I thought you meant the Pope said that they should take out the Fox News.
No. He said about people mocking these religions.
Right.
They shouldn't do that. They shouldn't say these things about the religion, because if someone said something about my mother, I'd punch him right in the face. Here's a guy who's supposed to be preaching Jesus who says, turn the other cheek, and not so great as that. The guy's a devil.
He's still doing better than the other popes. He's loosened up on the gays.
He said bad things about the gays. You didn't hear that? That people are trying to ruin the Catholic Church by letting these marriages in. It should be between a man and a woman. But they didn't start marriage. Marriage was started to control slaves.
Yeah.
You know that.
To control people.
Well, to control the people by giving them a wife so they wouldn't run away.
Here's the thing.
From their job.
Here's the thing, Bobby. Two groups of people benefit from marriage. One is like lower on the scale guys. Like not... If you split up the world into four types, right? Men and women, and then wealthy, not wealthy. The two groups that benefit from marriage...
Are
not wealthy men, because they're guaranteed a wife instead of having nobody.
And wealthy women.
And wealthy women, because instead of sharing a guy with like the next four best women, they get all that wealth to themselves.
Right.
The people that don't benefit from marriage are wealthy men and poor women, because they get a poor guy instead of being the fifth. Like, if you're a poor woman, you'd rather be the fifth wife of a king or the 20th wife of a king than the first wife of some other poor schlub.
Some guy that's
got slaves.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't believe in marriage anyway. Except, my daughter's happily married. She's good.
That's good. Well, yeah, it helps. It helps some people. It's whatever.
Well, they really love each other. They have a happy marriage because there's no want in their relationship. Like, they're not looking to kill the world.
Right.
He's a police officer and she's a school teacher.
They're happy being
normal,
middle class
people.
Just living their life.
Right. They have
not changing
the
world.
They have a baby. They're probably going to have another baby one of these days. And then... That's it.
Right.
What they can afford.
Yeah.
And they're happy with just raising a child and having a good time that.
I was actually thinking about this earlier today, marriage is how, factory jobs used to be, or jobs in general. Like, if you got a good job back 30, 50 years ago, it was guaranteed for the rest of your life. You felt like you had a nice,
stable
thing.
Right, you got to get a pension and everything else.
Pension, everything. Not anymore. Same with marriage. Marriage is like those jobs where it used to be... You got your person
now
for
50%.
Life. Now it's
50% divorce.
Now no guarantees, but people are still holding on to it. But it's like, I don't know. Is it gonna?
It's like they're holding on to these religions.
Yeah, people like to
hold on to their
comfort beliefs from their childhood.
Well, no, it's not from their childhood. It just comes way back from the archaic, like from the Middle Ages,
right?
With these strict things, the bibliologists, they believe in the Bible. They don't believe in a God even. They worship the Bible.
Yeah.
All religions say they're infallible, and everybody else is fallible. They're all perfect. Everybody else is different. They all suck. But here's the real deal. It's all phony bullshit.
Well, it's control. People need morality, blah, blah, blah.
I don't need... I have morality. I'm a decent human being.
Have you told that on-air story about the wrong house, or can we not tell that on air?
Okay, we can tell it because that happened a long time ago.
the statute of limitations hasn't
a long time expired? Ago. It expired. This was
tell them about how you're a decent man, Bobby. This is my This is my favorite Bobby Haha story.
Oh, I'll tell you the Christmas story too today if you want. Okay,
with this one. This is my favorite, most terrifying. Mike mentioned it a couple months back, where he's like, Bobby told us something that's terrifying. Go ahead, Bobby. Tell us the wrong house story.
Okay. Well, I was down in Florida. Robbing drug dealers.
That's like a Robin Hood thing. It's actually good morality so far.
Because they're horrible,
robbing drug dealers might be a good thing.
But they're horrible people, these people.
It depends on the drug dealer.
No, these guys are big, big drug dealers.
Okay.
And, I'm taking them off for like $100,000, $200,000, stuff like this.
Okay.
So
this is big time stuff.
Yeah, so I got two other guys.
Okay. Some partners, if you will, slang.
Yeah. And we're pretty... we're not nasty people. One of them was kind of nasty. He died. The other one I feel bad about because I kind of trained him. And he's in jail right now for his life of murder.
You didn't train him very well.
No, I trained him, but
I trained him how to murder. You didn't train him how not to get caught.
No, he was a great guy. The most loyal, decent guy. But he didn't... He tried to be too loyal and too perfect. And I was in prison at the time when he got, you know, he did those bad things.
Okay, so that means it wasn't you. He didn't take the fall for you. That's
good. Oh, no. So, because he didn't have my guidance at that time. But I shouldn't have got him into the game in the first place. But I went down there and they told us this guy had 170 kilos in his house.
Of cocaine?
Yeah.
That's what, a few million dollars,
well, it's,
right?
Well, it's not at that time, but it's close to a million. So you figure about $20,000 a key.
Okay.
Okay, it's $340,000.
How many kilos did you say?
1.7? Well, 170 is more than that. It's about $3 million.
Okay, so I was right. I actually got it right. Are you not impressed that I was able to randomly calculate the street value of cocaine with historically adjusted
inflation? Right, he's about 20 around there. So, and it was good shit, too. So, the person that pointed out the house to us was very scared when she pointed.
Okay.
And I went into the house she pointed at. Late evening, very simple. And I told the guy, where's this stuff and everything?
You said that in a kind, just...
Yeah. Well, I came in first.
Excuse me, good sir.
No, first I came in, I says, PLC, instead of DEA or FBI, because anything you yell out, people are going to get scared. So I told my two guys, I said, watch this. I go, TLC! I just grabbed the guy, threw him to the floor, put handcuffs on him. Then I took him into his bathroom when he didn't want to tell me where the goods was. And I got a little rough with him.
Okay.
Okay. I cut a couple of fingers.
You cut off some fingers.
Yeah.
That's a little rough. What's a lot rough, Bobby?
He'd have been gone. No, I'm not that kind of guy. But what happened was, I hurt the guy badly. And I realized...
Right, you cut off his fingers.
Yeah, but they weren't, you know, the thumb.
Okay,
Not
so you were nice enough to go for the pinky and then the ring first?
Exactly.
So that he can still throw a fastball?
Right. Good curve. So, I heard he had a good curve too, the guy. So, I see the guy, when he was looking at me, the fear and everything, and he wasn't trying to hide anything. And I knew even before I cut off the second one. I said, but I shouldn't have did, but you know, you know.
You're in the moment.
I'm like, how do you say it? Like Daniel Day-Lewis.
In for a pinky, in for a pound, right? That's the expression?
No. I'm like Daniel Day-Lewis. You know what I mean? I'm a method.
You're a method goon. Go on.
I was, yeah. So, it's like playing a role when you do that.
Right. You know? You can't back down just because they might be innocent.
You never back down.
Then you lose the credibility with your bros.
Not the bros, because I'm like the main guy. Both of those two guys are bad dudes, too. We were a bad, like, but we never bothered innocent people. This is nothing, except for this time.
Except for this one time.
And I said, this guy don't know, this is something wrong here. This guy does not know anything. So, so I bandaged him up.
Bobby Haha School of Surgery.
Yeah. No, I quickly bandaged him, just to stanch the bleeding and everything. And then, after we got like 5 miles out, I called the police and said there was a guy handcuffed in the bathroom at that address, and so they could send an ambulance for him. So that wasn't too, because I felt bad, you know what I mean?
Because, and this was before cell phones, right?
Yeah, we had to go through the phone.
We had to go to the pay phone, and he couldn't get anywhere. He was handcuffed, bleeding out his missing pinky.
But I gotta keep handcuffed.
You couldn't leave a cell phone.
No, first
like,
of all, whenever I go into the house, first thing you do is cut the phone lines.
Of course.
Sometimes even before you get in from outside. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, in those days, like, I don't know if cell phones came out then, but very few people, if any, had those, like, big VCR type of things. This was, like, 83 or something, like, when I came out of the Marines, 84.
Okay.
84 it was. And early 84. And this was a big score.
Right. Now, where was the actual score? Did you find out what happened?
I wanted to kill this lady. It was the house next door, and the door was wide open. And the people in the back, the two people that lived there, husband and wife, were sitting by the pool, sipping drinks. and everything was right in the front closets.
So you could have even, you could have just gotten all the drugs without even chopping off any fingers.
But I still had to restrain them, of course.
Of course.
No, but I wouldn't have hurt them or anything.
Right, you just wanted the goods.
And we found out there was more than 170 there.
Now, how did you find out? Did you go to the house?
No, no, no. The person that told us knows these people. You don't even find out about these things unless you're in with these people. So, there was over 200 in there. And right after they found out what happened to this guy, when the cops came, as soon as the cops and the ambulance left, they had their people come over and empty that house immediately. But, and I was broke too at the time. So a week later, she gives us another score. It was like in this building. It's like weird how it was down there in Florida. And so we parked behind the building there. They had a little parking lot. And then it had like apartment houses up, you know, upstairs. But
right,
they like could see you from the windows that you parked there.
Like the Dexter setup. Where it's like an outdoor apartment entrance.
Exactly. Okay. So, but there's indoor hallways though.
Okay.
In this place. So, we're sitting there. And I said, the time is like, the late. The guy was supposed to bring up, it was supposed to be a bag. The guy's carrying two bags full of money. So we're sitting there, it's kind of late. So me and the one guy, I go, let's go up. Let's go walk by there. But they said, the inside, once, if they get inside the door of the apartment, they were delivering it to this apartment. They said it was like Fort Knox in there. Don't even think about it.
Right.
You got to catch them as they're going in there. So as we're going up the stairs, I see the cops coming around. Then I see this little Hispanic man, Colombian, with the two bags. But there were toys, a whole bunch of toys, full of toys.
So that lady tried to set you up?
No. I told the guy, and he saw the cop cars there too. I used the cop cars in my favor. I says, FBI, put the bags down. And just keep walking. He put them down 12 feet maybe from the apartment. And he kept walking past the apartment. And he see the cop cars out there, so he thought they were with me. So now I took the two bags full of the toys. I went downstairs, and the cops are telling my friend, what is he doing? I says, he was waiting for me. I got toys. We're going to go to the airport because I got to bring it to my family. What's the problem, officers? Oh, they said, no, somebody said he was parked out here for a long time. I said, yeah, I didn't think I'd dump, you know, a little late, you know what I mean? So they go, okay, no problem. So they actually assisted me, the Miami-Dade police, in a very large...
So there was cash under the toys?
No. It was inside of them.
In the toys?
Yeah. Oh. It was like $700,000, $500,000 change. But what happened was, we split up the right way. We're very honest and stuff. So there was one little baseball bat, a metal bat. I said, there ain't nothing in there. You can't open it. So I just kept it, took it home. Get back to New York. 2 months later, I'm playing with it. I said, something sounds like something. The bottom, like, kind of unscrewed.
Okay.
It was tightly wound with $100. It was $40,000 in there.
That's a nice little bonus. Now, did you give your partners?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
But the thing was, they had machines that used to tighten up the money. Then they would stick it. They'd take the toys apart, stick it back in, then glue them back together, and take them back to Colombia. That was just one of the ways. There are a lot of ways to take this money back. But that was one of the ways, in toys, and give it to some old lady or some at the airport. Huh. But there's no way you could think there was anything in those bags. But we knew the person was coming with them, because this lady didn't want to mess up again. You know what I mean?
Right. No, yeah. I imagine when she heard about the wrong house and the pinkies.
And plus, she knows we're getting a little broken, desperate there, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Now, did you chop him off at the first knuckle, the second knuckle, or right at the stub?
A little past the stub.
Little past the stub? Let's not get into that. Wow.
Let's not get into
that. Wow. I am terrified.
No, but I don't do those things anymore to our listeners out there. This has happened 30-something years ago. It's like, I've lived 3 or 4 lifetimes already. I don't even remember being that same person anymore. Or even the one that was right before that in the Marine Corps.
Right.
Or even the one that grew up in the streets then.
I understand.
Well, you know what I mean? I went through different lives already. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
But can I tell you my great Christmas story?
Okay. Is this going to top the Wrong House story?
It's pretty close. I'm dead broke 2 days before Christmas.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt, but this was interesting. But two, you keep getting these big scores for hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you keep going dead broke. What's going on?
Ben, if you know how much money I've spent in my life, I just stayed at the Beverly Hills Hotel, places like that, first class everywhere, like an idiot. Because when you make money like an idiot, you spend
it. You feel like it's always going to be around. Okay.
You know, you live a lifestyle. That's why I'm there. When I went to prison, I went for a lot of years. Because now, you know, you're not used to the money. Because if you come out without getting locked up, you're used to that money all the time. So you got to keep making that type of money. You got to keep earning like that.
So prison taught you austerity.
Yeah.
That's good.
And now I'm the biggest tightwad going.
Well, you buy me coffees. So that's
okay,
nice.
But this is two stories I'll tell you real quick. So, right before Christmas, 2 days before, my daughter wasn't born then, I don't think, but just my son. And I had nothing, you know, to give them everything. I went broke with the racetrack or some shit. So, I says, I know I'll go to this whorehouse. I'll rob this whorehouse. So, I take this old guy with me. I says, look, they have these doors that lock. So, someone has to hold the door. Otherwise, the door locks and you can't get out from the inside. You're locked in.
Right.
And I figure I go up there and make like $500,000. That's what they used to have in there. You know, this and that. I go up in the place. There's only two customers in there. They look like bunnies, two Spanish guys. Then I look, I say, wow, one guy's got nice jewelry. So I pull out the gun and I start taking. I looked in the guy, he had the side pockets on his pants. Stacks of hundreds. Just stacked in it. The other guy, too. And they had all his jewelry on him and lots of money. So, you know, I told the girls, I didn't rob them. I said, Merry Christmas. I'm not taking your money. I got enough. Look, yeah, he did that. I go downstairs. He took his foot off the door. I'm locked in. I'm standing. If they call the police, I'm standing. But those guys must have been big drug dealers. Because I told them, open the door. I said, open the door. I'm just going to start shooting into your place. But the girls, I didn't rob them, so they're pretty happy.
Right. So they opened the
door. They opened the door, and I got out of there. I handed this guy $300. I kept over $22,000.
Well, he fucked up his job.
No, I gave him $300 just to be nice. But I told him, because he's an old guy. If he was a young guy, he would have had a problem.
Now, here's my question. Do you think the girls working upstairs felt bad and gave the guys some free sex?
Since I don't know what they did. I think these guys must have been regular customers there. But these guys had big money. You don't just walk around like that with the jewelry they had on and stuff like that. So I did very good that Christmas. And then I also had the Thanksgiving story. On the Thanksgiving morning one time, this is before my daughter was born too. My son was just born then too. I remember that. Never forget this one. I go into this Korean whorehouse to rob him. I used to make him pay me protection over there in Flushing.
Okay.
But this is in Manhattan. So I go to this place. I get in, and you know, the doors, but I'm by myself, completely. So I go in, and it's like on the third level of a walk-up.
Right.
In the 20s.
Okay.
So I walk up there, and I get inside, I pull out the gun, I says, I want the money, and then the girl, there was a button underneath. I see two guys in the camera coming up the stairs with guns in their hand, two Korean guys. So I grab the girl, I put the gun to her head. I said, you come in the club, kill him. Now, as they're coming up, the one guy, he's got his, behind the other guy, he's got his gun pointed at the guy's head. The guy turned around and said, oh, no, you're Korean. What the fuck are you doing? You can shoot me, you fucking idiot. That gun goes off. So I said, look, fellas, here's the deal. I didn't get anything, you didn't get. But here, you're not getting me. I'm either killing her and then going, you guys are going to shoot it out of here, or you guys are backing away.
I believe that's what's called a Mexican standoff.
This is what happened. I get down the stairs. I walk outside the place. I let the girl go right away, put the gun away. And I didn't get a dime. I walk around the corner and I start like a crazy person just laughing. I said, this is the greatest thing ever. I just had a Mexican standoff. This is the greatest thing of all time. I'm thinking to myself. Even though I'm broke and everything else, I said, this is the greatest thing ever. I just had a Mexican fucking standoff, man.
Now, here's the thing, Bobby. Here's what's amazing to me. But besides, these are fantastic stories. you had the presence of mind to de-escalate a violent situation that could have ended very badly.
I know they don't want to do it, and I don't want to get involved in it. So you got to know how to handle those type of situations.
Here's what I propose, Bobby. I think you should be the lead negotiator for Israel and Palestine.
How about this? How about they're all sick over there?
Yeah, that's why I nominate you to negotiate the peace process. Israel, Palestine, Iraq, ISIS. You should just negotiate all that shit. Look, you have.
I'll negotiate it. All right. You don't want me to tell you what I wanted to do in all of them countries.
All right.
But I go with the Palestinians and I go with the Israelis. I go with human beings.
Right. I actually think you would be a good negotiator because you've been poor, you've been in the army.
No, I was not in the army. I've been against the army.
Which one was it? The Marines.
Exactly.
Sorry.
But wrong. I do not. I don't knock the army. The I don't knock the army because some of the greatest people, the heroes I know, were in the army. But I was a Marine.
All right, let's get to some more topics. Those are awesome stories. We got a few quick topics.
Well, I mean, I throw a few stories here and there. The Bobby Hodge stories. Bobby Hodge got bags of stories.
It's true. Bobby doesn't shut up. But this was fascinating.
Those are really, these are all, yeah, these actually happened.
No, I know. They are terrifying and amazing.
But the Mexican standoff was like, it was like I was a crazy person. When I got around the corner, now here I am, because I calm down when there's crazy situations.
I imagine there's a lot of adrenaline
no, no,
after.
No. I calmed down.
No, I mean after. Once you're out of it, that's when
it was just like I walked around the corner real slow, too. Because whenever you do something, never run.
Right.
Because everybody knows the guy running. Yeah. So you always walk slowly. But I just started giggling like a nut. Like, I even thought to myself, boy, you're a real nut. I'm giggling because I was so fascinated that I was involved in a Mexican standoff. I thought that was like the greatest thing ever.
It's pretty awesome.
It is to be in a Mexican standoff, right?
And survive.
Well, a Mexican standoff, everybody survives.
Oh, okay. Right.
That's why they call it a standoff, Ben.
Well, a standoff could turn into a shootout.
No, it was a standoff.
But it would have been a shootout, Ben. All right.
A Mexican standoff is a standoff, and that's it. It ends.
Couple of quick topics, and we'll wrap it up, get you home safely before...
No, I heard Ted the Teddy Man was in a standoff, too.
Oh, yeah? What kind of standoff is that, Bobby?
With my penis. He's been saying a lot of nasty things. Like, last week, he tried to put some shit about the Catch-22, the guy from Catch-22.
Yeah.
The lieutenant there, he tried to throw, we don't read or anything over here.
Joseph Heller, yeah.
Not Joseph Heller.
Well, that's who invented Catch-22.
That's who wrote it.
Wrote it, yeah.
We're not talking about him. We're talking about a character in it.
All right.
The lieutenant. Remember he mentioned that?
Because
the guy was like a phony intellectual. So that's what he was trying to say. Like, I'm a phony intellectual. Fuck you. And you weren't even a Skull and Bones and you went to Yale.
All right, let's get to some.
You went to Yale and you're swinging hash in a diner in New Jersey.
A mom in California was arrested after having a 3-month-long affair with her daughter's ex-boyfriend, some 16-year-old. Or as I call him, the luckiest 16-year-old in the world.
See, I don't believe in it. I believe it's still a molestation. I don't like that. I would never touch anyone underage.
I think once it's in the family, it's different. Once you bang the daughter...
No, I don't.
It's different if, the teacher takes their virginity, but if they've already been sexually active...
Stop
messing them up.
No, can I tell you something? I'm still not doing it.
Well, because you're a better man than the California
mom. I have control.
Next topic.
I do have good discipline.
You're a disciplinarian. I've seen the lover pictures.
No, not like that. I have discipline. I can control myself in situations.
Like in the Mexican standoff.
No, not only that. That's why I was pictured in America, because when they know your heart rate goes down.
Right.
During excitable things, which I actually get calmer as things get more excitable.
Yeah, me too.
So what happens is, since I get calmer, I know how to control these things. I can also control my sexual appetites and things like that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Way to make a California story about you.
No, I'm just saying. I could the most beautiful person in the world could be laying next to me naked. So I think is the most beautiful. And say, do not touch me. I will not touch them. I might try to beg and this and that. They don't give it to me, fine. I would never put my hand on them. Never in my life. And I think people that can't do that are pieces of shit that touch people that they shouldn't, like young underage kids and stuff like that.
Don't touch underage kids. I think everyone can.
That's
agree
what I'm saying. 16, not even underage, just touching people that don't want to be touched, like sexually.
Well, I mean, this guy was sex
with someone.
The teen was banging her for a few months, so clearly he wanted it.
It doesn't matter if he.
It's by the way, let me make this joke before you get to the serious topic.
This is not a joke thing. This is news, man.
We make jokes about the news. That's what makes us different from all those boring newscasts. Assume the girl dumped him. How fantastic of a revenge is it? Oh, yeah, well, I'm banging your mom now.
How about a mother had herpes? She's telling him right back. She goes, yeah, but my mom's got herpes. Welcome to that world. How about it was a setup right from the beginning? I didn't want you. I was setting you up because my mother wanted you. You filthy animal.
All right, next topic.
No, but people shouldn't do it. I don't care if it's a woman or a man. If someone's underage, I know some people I have not messed with that I know in their 20s. And I would not have sex with them because I know they weren't mentally ready for it. And I'm just, I have like a good empathy with people. I can like put myself in the person's shoes. Only one time I had this girl, I did not want to have sex. This girl was beautiful. This is in Brooklyn. She was telling me how her brother raped, her father raped her, and her brothers raped her, and this
Jesus.
And
Jesus.
And I was like, see, I'm sitting next to her talking to her. I didn't want to be around her. Now I'm getting ready to go home. She goes, oh, can I go take a ride with you and hang out? I didn't really want to. I said, yeah. Okay. I didn't think she was this crazy.
You didn't know it was on at that point? If a girl randomly says,
I did not want to after those stories. Do you understand this?
I understand that.
I know she's mental.
No. Here's my question.
Here's the deal. Even though the girl was beautiful, and I mean really beautiful, here's the deal. I know she was crazy.
Here's my question,
Bobby. Just from talking to her. No. So I don't like to have sex with people that are a little crazy like that.
That's not my question. Let me ask my question. Didn't you realize when she's like, can I come ride with you, that she was that?
I wasn't not thinking that. I was not. I know it could have happened, but I wasn't going to do it.
I know that, but I'm saying, why wouldn't you shut her down and say, no, I got
to
get home?
Because I felt so bad for her, what happened to her in her life. So it was like making sure she was getting home safe, and she lived near me anyway.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Okay.
So she goes, oh, okay, can we go hang out in your place? I said, okay.
So
I'm still not thinking about making any move whatsoever.
Right.
Before I finish opening up my second lock, the bottom lock, she pulled my pants down on my ankle and started sucking my dick. Now we get to my apartment. Now we start having sex. And it was a good, crazy sex, too. She was crazy. It was good shit. Now, after she comes and everything, she looks at me and goes, you're just like my father, a rapist.
Ooh.
I said, you sick motherfucker. I knew I shouldn't let you come near my fucking house. You're a psycho. And it's because she was raped. That's why she got like that.
Well, yeah.
So I did have some feeling like that. But I told her, if you don't leave my house right now, I'm calling the police. And I got out of, I made her leave. I couldn't believe that. She started having the sex. I didn't want to bring her home with me, but I just trying to be nice to this girl.
Right, that's what
because
you get
I don't like people that get raped and things like that. I hate to see shit like that. I really don't like
that's
people
that. That's what
you
get for being nice, Bobby, a blowjob.
No, I fucked her too. But that's what she said. She goes, yeah, you treat me just like my father did, like a piece of meat. And her whole face changed.
I mean, you do treat everyone like a piece of meat, to be fair.
Yeah, but it depends what kind of meat. Did she get you good steaks?
All right, next topic.
It wasn't bad, though, but I think I had sex with a guy one time, too. He was crazy as a fuck. I knew he was nuts. And he was real good looking, too. He's a model. Tall, beautiful kid. He goes like this. He goes, I said something about, look at this guy. He's a real gay lord. He goes, that's bad. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, they used to say that to me when I was a kid. That bothered me a lot. And I said, right then, oh, gaylord's not even a bad fucking word. And this guy's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, gaylord's a compliment in some circles.
Right, you're a gay and a lord.
I kind of view you as the lord of the gays.
Well, call me gaylord all day, you know what I mean? But the thing is this, he really took that like it was the worst thing someone could say to him. Like, this guy was emotionally, and I could start, that's when I met him, but he was like really good looking.
Right.
But I had, only once I had sex with him, and it was that real good crazy sex too, and then I never called him again. But that was a good one.
Who's the gay lord now?
I was the gay lord.
That's right. Next topic, Deflategate update. I think we talked about it last week. I don't remember what we talk about this. I just black out for these podcasts. But Bill Nye, the science guy.
He's a great guy.
disproved Belichick's claim of that weather can affect the footballs by 2 pounds per square inch.
Right.
In like two hours.
It had to be let down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
of course.
But they're not going to get punished because the NFL has no balls. They just wanted
Bill
to
Bill
Nye
also did, got those religious guys. Remember that? The religious guy he debated and he tore him apart.
Right.
He tore him a new asshole.
But the NFL just wants to make it look like they give a shit. They just care about money. Which, check out my new sketch that's coming this week for the Super Bowl.
My grandson, thank goodness, my son-in-law is a great guy. And, you know, he's played football, boxed, and everything else. And I've done a lot of those sports, hockey and everything. We're not going to let our grandson play those kind of games. He can play basketball, baseball. Because now when people are being so big and so fast and everything. And even soccer, concussions, it's amazing.
There's actually more concussions in soccer than football.
Because you're heading it.
Yeah.
And you're hitting each other's heads together. And what happens, and like football and sports, when you get guys so big and faster, which they're getting every year bigger and faster and bigger and faster.
Bigger, faster, stronger. That's right. What the program's called. They had a weightlifting program. That's what they called it, BFS.
And they know these guys are really getting fucked up. Their lives are being shortened and everything
else.
You don't see these football players living to their 90.
No. Well, I think it only screws you up if you go, like, to the pros.
To the pros, yeah. But even in college sometimes.
If you just play high school.
But no, high school's different.
High school's all right.
No, I even played in the Marine Corps. I also played in prison. I the guys that got stabbed in the game. You never see that anywhere, do you?
I wish they...
They got me one time good, too.
I do think they should televise prison league football. That would be entertaining.
No, some prisons will have only a few. Now they took them all out. This was years ago where they get the equipment and everything. What happened was, I cheap shotted this guy through his helmet, and I broke his nose in the last game. And I forgot, like, he said this was cool, you know, what's happening in the game. And we were still kind of friendly. It wasn't, like, a bad thing. I didn't know he was stewing to get me the whole year. So I played defensive line. So I come in. They fell down on purpose to trip me.
Okay.
The two offensive linemen.
Right.
And I said, oh, shit. And five of them came in and just pounded me. And then they're throwing punches, too. And I'm on the bottom of the pile up there punching me and everything else. And I got fucked up pretty good there. But I did the dirty shot the year before.
Right.
They didn't break nothing, but I was pretty hurt. They go, we got you, you cocksucker. We waited all year, man. And I laughed it off. You know what I mean? It was funny. But I've actually seen guys, they put hits on guys in games.
I can see that.
And guys get stabbed.
Yeah, use your cleat, get a take off.
Not a cleat. No.
Oh, they have actual.
They shank them right in it.
Damn.
Yeah, right in the belly.
All right. Speaking of right in the belly, huh? See what I did there?
Yeah.
No more Cadbury chocolate in America. Some sort of settlement between Hershey's buying Cadbury. They won't import Cadbury chocolate.
Who gives a shit?
I thought you'd be more upset about this. You seem like a chocolate connoisseur.
If I'm going to go chocolate, I'm not going to go to Cadbury or Hershey's.
I've been to
the Hershey Highway a few times. The old dirt road.
I've been to the Cadbury factory in Australia. Cheap. Good chocolate.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you throw a couple of shrimp on the barbies there?
I did. Miss Universe was announced.
Yeah.
The Colombians won it this year.
Yeah. Because they paid off all the judges with the Coke. And coffee.
All right. Time for
Coke and coffee. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, this Teddy, man, somebody's got to straighten this guy out. He's getting crazy, man.
Well, let's see what Teddy
does. He tries to make it like I'm a pseudo-intellectual, like I'm some kind of an idiot. Which I am, but he doesn't know that. Did he graduate at the top of his class at Harvard? No, I didn't think so, right? He was like at the... Yale. Was he like in the... you know, they had the Skull and Bones. What was he in the... The Raggedy Ann and Andy?
Skull and Boners.
He wasn't even in that. He gave Skull. To the bonus. He gave Skull to the bonus. That's what his job
Teddy
was.
Teddy says, Michelle on the PA pod added a very necessary ingredient of curtailing Bobby's Scheisskopf routine.
Scheisskopf. That's the guy from Catch 22. If you remember. Remember Scheisskopf? The guy that was like a phony intellectual?
Oh,
so he got the Scheisskopf routine, which is like being a bullshit intellectual. That's what he was trying to say to me.
That was actually our only tweet all week, Bobby.
He said something else, too, about some... He sent it to me, I think it was, here.
Oh, I don't...
I'll read the person.
I don't get your personal tweets.
Yeah, I don't get them either. But,
contrary to opinion.
Okay, what does it say here? Uh-huh. This Ted the Teddy Man, though, he's a what do you call that? A Mike Vecchionist.
I haven't heard that term before, but I like it.
He's a Mike Vecchionist. So, you know, he's always knocking us. You
then
know
there's
what I mean?
A Bobby Haha file. A Haha feel. File. A Ha-Haster, maybe. I don't know. Well, I'm just
maybe up to you to promote.
I'm just killing time until you pull up your last tweet so we can end the show.
Oh, no, this is like an old one, huh? No, I'm just saying, I got to find this here real quick.
Well, find it real quick, Bobby. How many tweets are you getting a week?
It says, here it was. Ted the Teddy Man at Bobby Ha, he goes, hold on. I guess you would, Uber Facts, the iPad.
That's yes. Old. Uber Facts is old. That's
no. He does another Uber Fact.
Oh, okay.
It says, I'm thinking of having a hidden... Oh, no, that's a hidden camera show thing. What's the new one? Hold on.
This is called the portion of the podcast where Bobby learns technology.
Here it is. Raindrops are shaped like hamburger buns, not teardrops. At the Bobby Haha, loves burgers and other stuff between buns. So I tweeted him back. Yeah, so do the Greeks. No. He said, so do Greeks. And I tweeted it back, yeah, but they use feta cheese.
All right, that is the show for this week. For
so
Bobby
put the feta
Haha.
Cheese up your ass, Ted the Teddy Man.
You
filthy animal. Keep the change, you filthy animal.
For comedian Bobby Haha / former hitman Bobby Haha.
No, I'm not. I never killed another human.
Former thug and current comedian Bobby Haha. I am comedian Ben Rosenfeld. We'll see you next Tuesday, next week. Good day.